We're up to Simen Lamed Tes. Mihem Haksherim Lichtav Tfilin Veliknais Mehem. Who is kosher to write tfilin and who it's permitted to buy tfilin from? Halacha Aleph. Tfilin Shekot. Well, before we start Halacha Aleph, let's just give a brief introduction, which the Mechaber is going to mention at the end of this sif. And that is that Chazal make a drasha, which is called Ukshartam Uchsavtam. Somebody who is included in Kshira is included in Ksiva. What that means is that somebody who is included in the mitzvah of wearing tefillin, putting on tefillin is called Kshiras tefillin. So somebody who is chayev in the mitzvah is permitted to write the tefillin. But somebody who is not included in Kshira, and we're going to see that that includes people who voluntarily exclude themselves from Kshira. Okay, so not only is somebody who is not obligated to wear tefillin not permitted to write tefillin, but somebody who voluntarily removes themselves from the chiyuv of tefillin, meaning they just don't practice the mitzvah, is also excluded from the mitzvah. With that in mind, the Mechaber says, tefillin shekosvan eved o isha, o katan, tefillin which are written by an eved, an isha, a katan, afilo higia lechinuch, even if you're talking about a 10-year-old child. A kusi is a euphemism for a non-Jew, or somebody who is a Jew who's into Buddhism or something like that. To be honest, I'm not 100% sure what that means, but apparently, I'm not sure if it's referring to Muranos or he was given over to people who did not allow him to practice Yiddishkeit. It's unclear because the Mishnah Berurah talks about somebody who litei avin is in such a situation, so I'm not sure exactly what it's referring to. But the point is that he doesn't practice mitzvah tefillin, psulim. So all such people are possible from writing tefillin. Mishum dechsiv ukshartem uchsavtem. Because as we said, there's a drasha that somebody who wears tefillin is allowed to write them, kol she'eina b'kshira, but somebody who is not included in the mitzvah, oy einai ma'amin ba, or he doesn't believe in it, einai b'ksiva, so he's not allowed to write tefillin. Just throw in very, very, very briefly that there is an interesting shita in the Achrayim that says that somebody who doesn't wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin would not be allowed to write them because he's einai ma'amin ba, so he's like an apikiris in Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, right? So he would be posel for ksiva. Other Achrayim disagree with that opinion. Halacha base, kol she'posel l'kaisvan, posel b'kol tikun asiyasin. This doesn't just refer to the writing. Somebody who's not, anyone who's not included in Ukshartim Uchsavtam would not be allowed to do any activity. Kol tikun asiyasin means anything that would be ma'akiv in the tefillin. He wouldn't be allowed to make the batim, he wouldn't be allowed to make the gidim, or anything of that sort. He wouldn't be able to do any repairs that would be kashering the tefillin either. Halacha Gimel, Ger Shechazar Ledosai. Let's say you have a Christian who became Jewish, right? He was Megayer, and after a period of time, he went back to his original religion, Machmas Yira. But the reason he went back to his religion is because he was afraid. There was a fear of death, right? Jews were being persecuted, and it was a matzvah of Pikuach Nefesh. So he went back to his original religion. Now, Be'etzem, that's not the halacha. A person is Mechuyev to be Maisa Nefesh. For Yiddishkeit, and he's not allowed to do that. But nonetheless, since he did it because he was an Einus, so even though he did the wrong thing, but that would not passel him from writing tefillin, kosher lichtav tefillin, he would be kosher to write tefillin. The Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah brings from the Magen Avraham, who argues on this. So this is a discussion in the Achrayim. But again, the Mechaber says that he would be kosher to write tefillin. Halacha dalet, tefillin shekosma epikairis, Yisrafu. So in this context, Apikiris is referring to somebody who is what's called Oduk Ba'avodah Zarah. Oduk Ba'avodah Zarah, like we said before, a Jew who gets into Buddhism or some type of Eastern religion, right? So he becomes an Oduk Ba'avodah Zarah. So that's the type of Apikiris that we're talking about. We're not talking about the colloquial term today of anybody who, you know, is not so frum. So we quickly call them an Apikiris. That's not what we're talking about over here. We're talking about somebody who's mamish oduk ba'avodah zarah. So such a person, yisrafu, you burn the tefillin. The reason you burn the tefillin is because we assume that when he wrote the Shem Hashem in the tefillin, he he's referring to the Avodah Zarah. He's not referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Mela, even though ordinarily it would be an Issa D'Oraisa to burn a pair of tefillin, because there's a law in the Torah of Leisasim Kein LaShem Lekecham, but since when this guy wrote the Shem HaShem, he wasn't thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was thinking about the Avodah Zarah. So on the contrary, not only is there no Issa to burn it, but there would be a mitzvah to burn it. But others disagree, and others say that they should not be burned, rather they should be put into Gniza, because they say that Apikorsim don't really wear tefillin, and they probably wrote it to sell to a Jew, and therefore maybe they didn't write it with their Avodah Zarah in mind. Maybe they wrote it with Hashem in mind. So since it's a suffix of sorts, the other Shita holds that you don't burn it, rather you put it into Gniza. Nimtzu b'yad apikayrus, what about a pair of tefillin which is found in possession of such an apikayrus? V'ein yadua mikosvam yignizu. Now really, this doesn't make any sense. It should be one or the other, right? If it was, we have an apikayrus, nimtzu b'yad apikayrus means, that doesn't mean that we stole it from him, right? But let's say you have such a person who's an apikayrus, he's aduk b'avodah zarah, and he dies, right? So you find a pair of tefillin in his house. So what am I supposed to do with these tefillin now? So, if he wrote them, so then they should be burned. And if he didn't write them, then they could be worn, the kosher. So, there's no, the yignizu, pashtis, there's no makam for it. But that's what we paskin, since it's a suffix. We can't burn them, since it's a suffix. It's a suffix, is it raisa to burn them? And you can't wear them because it's a suffix if they're kosher or not. So, the best answer is, the Mechaber says, in such a situation, just put it into Geniza. I don't know. We'll have to think about it later. Elisha ben Avuya, I don't think, was Aduk B'Avodah Zarah. So Pashtus, so it would be kosher. Apikayrus, in this context, is talking about Aduk B'Avodah Zarah. Elisha ben Avuya just was a modern-day Apikayrus. He wasn't into Judaism anymore. That's not what this halacha is referring to. Halacha Vav, Nimtzu B'Yad Eina Yehudi, if you find tefillin in the hands of a non-Jew. So this is actually not such an uncommon case, right? You can have goyim for whatever reason in possession of tefillin, and such tefillin are kosher because there's no chash, especially nowadays, and the Mishnah Berurah says this also, there's no chash that goyim today are writing tefillin. So since there's no chash that a goy is writing tefillin, it must have been written by a Jew and somehow ended up in the hands of a non-Jew, whatever. It got lost on the plane, it got lost on the bus, it ended up in the garbage. Could be a million different ways that it came into the guy's hands, but we don't assume today that Goyim write tefillin, and therefore tefillin found in possession of a non-Jew would be kosher. Halacha Zayin. Ein leichen tefillin u'mezuzas esfarim min akusim. If a non-Jew tries to sell tefillin u'mezuzas, we don't buy it from him, yaisim yikadei demehen, for more than its value, harbe, not for much more than its value, kadei shalei lahargi laganvan ulagazlan, because if we start buying tefillin from non-Jews for exorbitant prices, especially Sefer Torah, so they're going to start stealing, it's going to become a business, right? Every nochri is going to start stealing tefillin or Sefer Torah and selling it for a lot of money. So to discourage such activity, we discourage purchasing a tefillin or sifrei Torah, mezuzas, I don't think it's so common, from non-Jews for exorbitant prices. There is a story that I once heard about a certain store owner that a non-Jew who clearly had stolen a pair of tefillin came into the store to try and sell him the tefillin. So he was quick on his feet, he had a Yiddish cup, and he opens up the tefillin, he looks at them, he tells him, I'm not buying these. He says, You have the one for the head, and you have the one for the left arm, but you're missing the one for the right arm. He says, so you're missing, this is like an incomplete set. Well, how much, what is, it's worth $5. I'll pay you $5 for it. So the guy said, okay, sold it for $5. It had the young man's name on it, and he returned the tefillin. No, he says, so yoisim yikdei demeyan. But he's not allowed to eat tefillin either. No. Why? He doesn't say that. He says, Yaisim Yikadei Demein. You can't pay too much. Doesn't say you can't pay too little. If you pay too little, they're not going to steal it. For $5, they're not going to steal them. Ches, Einikhen Elamin Amumcha, Shabaki Bechseris Vyaseris. You're not allowed to buy tefillin. Now, this is talking about a pair of tefillin that's closed. Okay, a complete set. You're not allowed to buy a complete set from somebody who is not familiar with the spelling of tefillin. Why? Because really they need to be checked. And checking it is a pain in the neck. So we're nervous that people are not going to, I'm not going to get around to it. It's going to cost too much money. Find all kinds of excuses. And they're going to wear the tefillin without having them checked. But just to purchase parshiyos, that would be mutter. Because the parshiyos, you can just give them to be checked without having to open up the whole tefillin. Test. Lokach mimisha ene mumcha. If somebody bought a pair of tefillin from somebody who's not a mumcha, tzarech lebotkan, that's what we just said, right? So it's mutter to buy them, but they have to be checked. Lokach mimenu mea ktsitzos. Ktsitzos, you'll recall, we said, is referring, there are three parts of the tefillin, right? The mabarta, the titura, and the ktsitzos. The ktsitzos is the tower in which the parshiyos rest, but it's also just a common term for tefillin. So in our context, ktsitzos just means tefillin, what we call tefillin. So again, lokach mimisha ene mumcha, if somebody purchased tefillin from somebody who's not a mumcha, meaning he's not familiar with the spelling of tefillin, tzarech lebotkan, so they have to be checked. Lokach mimenu mea ktsitzos, if you bought from him 100 pairs, boidek mehen shloisha ktsitzos, you have to check three. Shtayim shel rosh v'acha shel yad, shtayim shel yad v'acha shel rosh. Im matzan ksherim, if you find all three kosher, huchzak zeh ha'ish, so this person now is huchzak as somebody who knows what they're doing. V'harei kulan ksherim, and we assume that they're all kosher because the tefillin which are written by a person who's huchzak b'kashrus are kosher. So until now we didn't know if the person is huchzak b'kashrus. Now we do, so they're all going to be kosher. The ein hashar tzarech bedika. You don't have to check the rest. The im lochcham tzvatim tzvatim cheskosam me'anoshim harbe. Right. I think what this means is that if you purchase them in different bunches, right, they're not all one bunch. You purchase various groups of tefillin, right. So we assume they came from different people. Heim lochchem. So from each grouping, you have to check, are the two Rashim and one Yad, to establish this chazaka on each group. Let's say you have a private individual who's selling a pair of tefillin, and he says that they belong to an Adam Gadol. Neman, because Eidecha Neman b'Yisurin. And you don't have to check them. You can trust this individual that they taka are from an Adam Gadol. And if they were from an Adam Gadol, they don't need bedika because the Adam Gadol, we assume, had the tefillin checked properly. However, somebody who is in the tefillin business, on such a person, we don't say Eidachanem Bisurin. And such a person, the Magen Avraham says, has to be Hochsek Bekashris. In other words, you can't just assume that anybody selling tefillin has a cheskes kashrus just because he hangs up a shingle and is in the tefillin business. The person has to have a cheskes kashrus. This halacha is talking about a single individual who's selling a single pair of tefillin. So over there, you could be simach on the person. But like we're saying, somebody who's a broker of tefillin or he's in the tefillin business has to establish a proper chazaka that he is reliable. Halacha yud. Tefillin shehuchzaku b'kashrus einan tzricha b'dika la'olam. Tefillin which have been established to be kosher do not ever need to be checked. V'im einan menichem ela leprakim tzrichem b'dika pamayim b'shavua. But if you only wear them once in a while, they need to be checked twice in 7 years. So this halacha is first of all, it's not a well-known halacha, and second of all, it's a halacha that some say changed. And I'll briefly explain. Everybody knows that mezuzahs have to be checked twice in 7 years. So a lot of people assume that tefillin also have to be checked twice in 7 years. So this halacha says that that's not the case. The halacha of checking twice in 7 years is referring to mezuzahs. It's not referring to tefillin. Tefillin, shehuchzaku b'kashrus, einan tzrichin bedika la'olam. Now, with that in mind, there are quite a number of achrenim that say that this halacha has changed b'meshach hazman because the metzias has halachas don't change, but metzias changes, and if metzias changes, so then the halacha works with the current metzias. So apparently, tefillin which were written in earlier times lasted forever. V'haraya, it says that you don't ever have to check them. Today, many, many achronim have pointed out what is well known, and that is that our tefillin, for whatever reason, and this is a much longer discussion, but the fact is that our tefillin did not last forever. If you open up a pair of tefillin that was written 100 years ago, you'll see 99% of the time that the parashiyos are no longer kosher and they have faded out. For this reason, quite a few achronim say that tefillin bismanenu do have to be checked. So some say twice in 7 years, some say once in 7 years, and my personal favorite is the Aruch HaShulchan. He says that since we see that tefillin don't last forever, so tzarech lebodkam be'eze zman, they should be checked at some point, once in a while, tefillin should be checked. There's no zman, it's the din of pamayim b'shev ha'shanim is not chal on the tefillin, but be'eze zman, once in a while, you should check the tefillin to ensure that they're still kosher. And even though our tefillin are made with gases, so you would think that they would last longer, that really only helps for the batim. But the parashiyos lemaisa fade out with time, and therefore I think the Aruch HaShulchan's Eitzah is probably the smartest, that somebody should check them once in a while. Haga, v'mein lo misha yuchal livdaik, v'lachzer l'tayfron yanicham kach b'lay b'dika. But let's say, right, so this is talking about the case of Einem Menichan El Leprokim, somebody who only wears them once in a while. So we said that such a person has to check them twice in 7 years. So on that, we say that, let's say there's nobody around who's able to check the tefillin. So he says you could wear them, and the Mishnah Berurah says even with a bracha, because we don't have any positive reyesa. Positive reyesa means, let's say you drop the tefillin in a swimming pool. So that would be a positive reyesa that there might be something wrong with the tefillin. In such a case, so then avada, you cannot make a bracha on the tefillin. So a modern day equivalent of such a thing, again, I'm not saying you wouldn't be able to make a bracha on such tefillin, but al-kalpanim, tefillin that would be wise to check are somebody who sweats profusely or somebody who showers before shacharis and doesn't dry his hair properly, or somebody who leaves his tefillin in the car in a Ramat Beit Shemesh type of climate for half a day or a day or 2 days for sure, on days where it's over 90 and the sun is shining. 90 Fahrenheit, that is. So in such instances, a person certainly should avoid such things and he should check the tefillin. Again, I'm not saying you can't make a bracha on them, but it's wise to avoid such types of situations. Heat can melt the ink, and heat can warp the batim. That's two things that heat can do. I've seen myself, people left tefillin in the car. Again, I'm not saying it happens to every pair, but the parashiyos stick to themselves because the ink melts from the intense heat. Okay, we'll take a look. Be'ezer Hashem. Halacha, Sif, Simen Mem. Din eich linag b'ktushas ha-tfilin. Aleph, also litlais tfilin bein bebatim bein beritzuas. Tfilin are not allowed to be hung, whether it's from the bayis or from the ritzua. Aval mutar litloisan bekisan. So what this means is a person is not allowed to take a pair of tfilin and hang them on a hook. Mishnah Berurah says what people do sometimes, that they hold the tfilin so the bayis is hanging and they put it on the head. That would not be an isser. Doesn't mean it's recommended, but it wouldn't be an issa. Avol mutal l'tloisan b'kisan. But let's say you have a tefillin bag, and the tefillin bag has a handle, so you would be allowed to hang it on a hook from the handle. Beis bayis sheyesh. But the point is that it's a bizayin. To hang tefillin is a bizayin. But again, if you hang it in the bag, so obviously that's not considered too much of a bizayin. Beis bayis sheyesh by tefillin. Bayis means a room which has tefillin in the room. Also l'shamish by mitasis. It's also for a married couple to have relations in such a room. Ad sheyetziam, until the tefillin are removed from the room. Ay, alternate eitzah, sheyanicham b'kli toich kli. They're put in one kli, which is put in another kli. V'hu she'ein hasheni miyuchad lahem. So one of the two kelim can be miyuchad for the tefillin, meaning it could be the tefillin bag. But the second kli should not be miyuchad for the tefillin. Sheim hu miyuchid, because if it is miyuchid for the tefillin, afilu meya chashuvim ke'echad. So again, something that's miyuchid for the tefillin counts as one, but it cannot count as two. Hagav, im shneim enam miyuchadim lahem, but if both bags are not miyuchid for the tefillin, oisha hapnimi enam miyuchid lahem, or the inner bag is not miyuchid for the tefillin, v'achitzain miyuchid lahem, and only the outer one is miyuchid for them, so then it would be mutter. So let's say somebody has, he takes his tefillin and he puts it in a shefashuk bag. And then he takes the shefashuk bag and he puts that in his tefillin bag. So then it would be okay, right? Or if he has two shefashuk bags, that would also be okay. Okay, but if the inner bag is the tefillin bag, which is put into a shefashuk bag, so then that would actually also be okay, right? That would also be okay. Yes. Gimel. Afilu laniach bekli toich kli, aser lahanicham tachas margaloisav. So again, we're coming back to the idea of bizayin. So we're saying even if the tefillin are in two kalim, which is the way it's supposed to be, nevertheless, if a person is going to keep it under his feet, v'chein aser lahanicham tachas mirashoisav, or he's going to keep it under his head, so then keneged roishay, that would be aser. So even though technically he's fulfilling the din of having it in two kalim, but nonetheless, he's still being mevazit by using his tefillin as a pillow. And one is not allowed to use his tefillin as a pillow or a footrest. Even if his wife is out of town, it's still aser to do it because he's being mevazit the tefillin. But if he's not using it as a pillow, rather, it's, let's say, under the pillow, right? So it's above the mattress and under the pillow. So that would be mutter, im ein ishtay imay, if his wife is not around. Mutter. V'im ishtay imay, tzarech kli, b'taych kli. If his wife is around, so then he would need a kli b'taych kli to keep them under the pillow. Dalit. Ishtay imay b'mita, if his wife is around with him in the bed, v'einay reitzel l'shamish, but he's not interested in having relations. Let's say it's a time when it's aser. Mikri ein ishtayimai, so that's as though she's not around. Okay, so her being around is only at a time when it's mutter or when there is a possibility of relations occurring with the tefillin in place over there. Halacha hei, lanicham b'mita keneged tzidai, dinan ketachas margalosav. When we said that he's using it as a pillow under his head or as a footrest under his feet, it's lav dafka, even if it's on his side, that's also included in this iser because people, when they sleep, they roll over. So Mimela could end up underneath you in any event, which would also be included in this potential matziv of bizayin. Halacha vav, shachach v'shimesh mita, very unusual case, but I guess times have changed. Shachach v'shimesh mita say b'tfilin. Somebody is wearing his tefillin and he forgot and he had marital relations while wearing his tefillin. So, and then he realizes, oh my goodness, I'm wearing my tefillin. Lo yecha is loy bebatim v'loy beritzuas. So at that moment, he should not hold on to the batim or the ritzuas, ad sheyitel yadav, until he washes his hands. Mipnei shehayadayim askani yaseim v'shem anagu v'mokim atinayfus. Of course, it is possible that while having marital relations, his hands touched a mokim mechusa in his guf or her guf, and therefore he should wash his hands before touching his tefillin. Halacha zayin, yashan behen v'ra keri, if a person fell asleep wearing his tefillin, and he had an emission, la yechais bebatim, again, he shouldn't touch the batim, el yechais beritzua umesir oisam. He shouldn't hold the tefillin by the ktsitsa, by the batim, rather, he should hold the tefillin by the ritzua, and I presume he means the ritzua close to the area of the batim, so that it shouldn't be hanging, as we were talking about before. That heter l'chayr is only when you're putting on tefillin. Over here, you're taking them off. I would imagine you should try and avoid having them totally as much as possible. So again, this is my own thing. I may be wrong, but I would think that you should hold the ritzua close to the batim so that you're avoiding that as much as possible. U'meisir oisam, and in that fashion, one should remove the tefillin, hagah, ad sheyakaneh hakeri meyolov, until he cleans himself, v'yitol yodav, and then he should wash his hands. And at that point, once his hands are dry, after netilas yadayim and after cleaning himself off, then it would be mutter for him to touch the tefillin themselves. Ches hanichnas lesudas keva, somebody who enters a sudas keva has to take off his tefillin. Why? Because we're nervous that he may get drunk. Okay, somebody's going in for a sudas keva, we're worried that he's going to drink a bit too much, and that would be a bizayin for the tefillin. Therefore, chaltsan u'menichan, he should take them off, ala shulchan, he should put them on, he should take them off and put them on the table, adzman bracha, until it comes time for birchas hamazon. V'chayzer u'menichan, at that point, he could put the tefillin back on. Aval achilas aray, ein tzarech l'chaltsan, but just if he wants to, you know, have some a nash, so nashing would be mutter when wearing tefillin. Mishnah Berurah brings it sad to say that nowadays that we are not noyeg to wear tefillin all day, so even nashing perhaps should be avoided when wearing tefillin. Drinking, I think all agree, is mutter when wearing tefillin. It's even common, especially in climates such as the one that we live in. People drink during shachris with their tefillin on, and that's okay. But nashing, the Mishnah Berurah has a suffix that perhaps it's best to avoid. Mem Aleph, din hanoisei masei eich yineg betfilin. Hanoisei masei al reishe. Somebody who in those days, today I think it's less common, at least in most parts of the world, but it is seen in other areas of the world. People carry packages on their heads. So if somebody has such a package on his head, Chaylitz tefillah shel rosh, he should take tefillin shel rosh ad sheyaser hamasa. He should take off his tefillin shel rosh until he removes the package from his head. Vafilu mitpachtei oser laniach al rosh, and even a kerchief shouldn't be worn on the head. Sheyesh by tefillin, when he's wearing tefillin. However, that's talking about something that's not ordinarily worn. Aval davar shedarkei litein b'roshay kagain koyva imitznefes muter. Right. So Baruch Hashem, all yeshiva bachrim have a heter to wear the hat while they're wearing the tefillin, right? Because this halacha is only referring to something which is not normally worn on the head, or it can harm the tefillin. That's what the Rama is about to point out. V'afilu hachi, imhumasei kaved, if it's something that's heavy, dalet kabin, v'atfilin nidchaka, is tzarech lasir. And if the tefillin are going to get pushed out of the correct place, or the tefillin could actually get ruined, so then a person should avoid wearing tefillin when he has such a package on his head, and he either should remove the package or he should remove the tefillin. We're up to Simon Mem Base.